Heather Andrews, international four-time best-selling author on Amazon and seven-time author, has gone from restructured to reinvented through the power of story. With her publishing company increasing with 95% business growth in 1 year, she has been nominated as Entrepreneur of the Year by Business from the Heart. She is on a mission to help others share their stories with the world, to help inspire and heal others. From her signature books on Amazon, top 10 bestseller, Obstacles Equal Opportunities, and number one bestseller, The Real Journey of the Empowered Mom Boss, Heather is poised for supernova and taking her company to the top. As she owns her own media production, Tenacious Living Station, she runs her own podcast, The Heather Andrews Show, and the network holds over 500 podcasts of her and others. Her radio show, Follow It Through to Your Stellar Life, has an international following. Heather's dynamic and inspiring manner, her voice for self-discovery, and fearless revitalization makes her a woman with a mission. Are you ready? Here's Heather.
Welcome to our show, everyone, and we're very grateful that you are here with us. Today we have Shauna Marie, and we are going to be talking about finding the one good thing in adversity. Welcome to the show, Shauna.
Thank you, Heather. I so appreciate being here with you.
Awesome. So how did you find the one good thing in adversity? Like, what made you talk about this as a topic in today's world?
Well, I found it by watching someone else. What happened was my ex-husband was diagnosed with cancer, and just before he passed away, he and I were having a conversation about our kids and our life, and he had said that cancer gave him more than it took. And I thought that was so profound, which it is profound. And so I started searching out other people that felt the same way, that they had something that had happened in their lives that we as society think is the worst possible thing that could ever happen, and you don't want it. But possibly even the worst, in the worst possible times, there's something good, and finding that will change it and shift it from something horrific to a teaching moment for yourself and others. For me, it was, he taught me something that changed the course of my work and my life.
Wonderful. And I know that we've talked a little bit about watching someone walk through that journey from an outsider perspective. Can you just share a little bit about what that looked like for you?
Well, Heather, I was truly an outsider because, as I said, we were divorced. Mm-hmm. And how does that work? How do you try and help the person that you still care about, even though you're not that primary caregiver? And so for me, how I entered back into his world, and in turn are my children's world, because they were helping him through his journey and spending all of their time. One daughter moved home, the other one came back from, she lives in Spain, and the other one had two small children. And so instead of, I kept asking him, what can I do for you? What can I do for you? And his answer is, oh, nothing, I'm fine. Or, you know, something, such thing, which often people do. And so I turned it around, and instead of calling him, I text him to say, can I bring you dinner tonight or tomorrow night? And his answer was, oh, tonight. And then, would you like this dinner or this dinner? And he said, oh, that dinner. Would you like dessert? And so taking someone who is going through such a difficult time, they often just want to be a pillar, especially as a father and a man, want to be a pillar, or mothers do the same thing. And so I asked him pointed questions that came from my heart, and it was my way to serve him.
That's powerful. And do you believe that sometimes when we're in a state like that, that we might not know what we want? And when we're given choices, it's easier?
Absolutely. It's one of those perks to being a strong person. And it's one of the hardest lessons when we are a strong person and we need help because we're afraid of that help. Mm-hmm. It makes us in our minds feel small, feel incapable. And especially when your life and your body and your cells have given you another path that you didn't choose. I don't want to be sick. I don't want to have this illness, whatever that illness might be. And so sometimes we dig our heels in to our detriment. And for him, he was. And I understood that.
Mm-hmm. So you mentioned that as a native Calgarian and living in our city of Calgary, Alberta, Canada, your children are kind of spread throughout the world. Is that correct?
They are. One's in the States, in St. Louis, one's in Barcelona, and one lives here.
Wow. And how did this journey of their dad having cancer affect them being so global?
Oh gosh, Heather, it was difficult. The one who lives in St. Louis was living here at the time, but she wasn't living at home. And so she closed up her apartment and moved back in with her dad. The one in Barcelona has a language school there. She wasn't married at the time, but she and her fiance were working on her school. So he quit his job and ran her school for her, and she came home for 3 months. And then the third daughter who lives here, who's actually the oldest, she just found out she was expecting her second child when she found out her dad was ill, and he passed away 11 months later. So she went through her pregnancy, just everything that goes along with it. So yes, their lives were drastically affected. Mine was not drastically affected until the end. And really it wasn't drastically affected. It just felt that I wanted us to finish our story, that we had a limited time. And for me, I had a need to finish our story. And not everyone was happy about it, I have to say. There were people that were feeling that I shouldn't have been there. And I had to get over that bias and judgment, which I also had myself. Why am I here? And finish our story no matter what, however that looked. And he was gracious enough to allow that for us.
Wow. And so we've talked a little bit about the journey of you being there as a support from the outsider looking in and finishing that space. But after he passed, what were some of the feelings that you had?
That's such a
loaded question.
Wonderful question. Loaded, but all wonderful questions are loaded.
Perfect.
I believed that I didn't have the right to mourn him because we were divorced. And it wasn't until I'd gone and left my house, rented it, and I actually walked the Camino de Santiago trail in Spain, from France to Spain. And the day that I started walking this 40-day walk, I met two other women who were married, but their spouses had died of cancer. So how interesting and curious that it was on that day that I realized it was okay to mourn him because I loved him for 26 years. We were married. And so our paths take us, interestingly enough, mine was the Camino, which is a path of enlightenment, to figuring out that it was okay for me to be sad and to mourn this man, even though we were divorced, because my children lost their father. I lost the only man I'd never been married to. And I think the world lost someone that brought a lot of joy and happiness. He was a quick smiler, laugher, and he made people feel good. And then he gave me this beautiful gift of that cancer gave him more than it took.
Wow. And can you just sort of take us, I think that this, the journey of the Camino Trail, because it's an 800-kilometer journey from France and Spain, and you talk about the wisdom of gratitude that you learned along that. So, and it was a 40-day pilgrimage. Can you just take us a little bit about what that was like to be on that pilgrimage? Because we hear so much about people doing things like this, but sometimes I just do not think that people fully understand all of the ideas or aha moments or breakthroughs that can come on such a journey?
Well, I didn't want to do the journey, Heather. I didn't want to walk for 40 days. I didn't want to sleep in what is essentially hostels. They're called albergues, and where all my everything on my back in a backpack. But it just kept coming to me from different angles. And at that time, I was writing out every night. I'd write on a piece of paper what I was grateful for. I'd have my grandkids write out what they were grateful for. Even though they were little, they understood that. And I was writing a blog about gratitude. And so a friend of mine who was actually helping me train for the Camino, he's a mountain climber, and he said, you need to take somehow this gratitude onto your Camino. Didn't know how that would look, but it evolved into me taking small pieces of paper in a pencil case that I'd bought in Barcelona, and putting on the outside of it gratitude. And then actually on the back of my backpack, I had a fellow put the words, stencil the words, what are you grateful for? And I purposely didn't put a question mark because I didn't want it so much to be a question mark. I wanted it to be a statement. And so when I started the Camino, I was walking too fast. Then I had an injury in my shin. And so I had to slow down. And so then people would come up behind me and tell me what they were grateful for. And if they agreed, I would ask them to write on this piece of paper in their own language and what they believed, and I told them I wouldn't be reading it, but I would pass it on to someone if they needed it. And so I would carry their gratitude to Santiago. And then when I'd find someone who was having a hard time, which many of us did, by the way, on the Camino, because it brings up your life experience that are stored in your muscles and in our bodies. And when you walk, sometimes they just float out and you start crying, laughing, or whatever you might do. And so I would open this little pencil case, and they would pull out a piece of paper, and they would look at it, and they would look at me invariably in shock and say, how did you know this? Because it was random. And they would say, this is in my language. This is exactly what I need. And I can't believe it. It's so shocking. And so this gratitude became part of it. And so finding one good thing is the same thing as gratitude. It's more simplistic, and we overuse the word gratitude now, but it's still such a pivotal word and important to all of our lives.
The word gratitude, you are correct, it is overused because we're moving into this space of reclamation in life and healing, and there's more awareness around it. But there is a certain practice within gratitude. And I never looked at obstacles as from a state of gratitude years gone. And now, as my own life has transitioned, I look at gratitude and adversity, and I put them sort of as a practice that go together. And I'm grateful for the lessons that I've learned because I've been able to evolve and move my life in a different direction. And when you talk about the finding the one good thing in diversity or adversity, it really flips the belief. And the one thing that I've learned within the gratitude space is also the why behind we're grateful. And so when I do my own statements of gratitude, I always say why I'm grateful for something that's happened. And we've been kind of talking a lot about that today, and that you're, you know, learning from your husband, even learning the lessons that your husband gave you, you know, when he said, you know, cancer gave more than it took. So this journey that you've been on and watching your husband and his journey, it's moved your life in a different direction.
It has. I was an interior decorator and quite happy with being an interior decorator. And now I'm a teacher and a woman who's moving forward with a vision. And so it's scary and different, but it's okay because it's where I'm supposed to be going.
And can you just share a little bit about what your vision is and what you've started? Because I think I love it. It's so powerful.
Thank you, Heather. Well, what the vision is I've written a book, and then it's not published yet, but it will be. I'm also doing a course, so I've called it Thrive Beyond Cancer, but basing on what we were talking about on this gratitude and having we learn through those lessons. But to me, especially with cancer patients, finding that gratitude while you're in it, not after it's ended. That's where it gets sticky, is when we're in the middle of something and finding a way to feel grateful, or at least to ease that feeling of heaviness that why me, why did this happen, and things are going wrong. But maybe things are going right and we just didn't realize it. Cancer is a teaching lesson, and how do we figure that out? So there's processes that I've studied and 8 pillars that I've come up with based on research from scientists to move you forward in that. And I believe it works in everything. It works for me when I'm in a bad place, and I certainly don't have cancer, but there are different adversities that come up, stresses, etc. But for cancer patients, that's a holds a special place for me.
Mm-hmm. And what are some of the when you talk about the program Thrive Beyond Cancer, it's the emotional and spirituality after cancer, and you have a course or program that you are holding and teaching for the survivors of cancer, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Can you share a little bit about that with us?
Well, it's called Thrive Beyond Cancer, and it's a 5-week course that we're running, and it goes through the pillars to help you get through it. Now, not each pillar you may need to work on, but it helps you look at them. So your relationships, your nutrition, your passion for life moving forward, because life is different after a big paradigm shift like cancer. You want to go back to the way it was because that's where it felt comfortable and you weren't sick. But in actuality, you need to move forward and understand that cancer is not going away. It may have left your cells, but you need to embrace that and move forward as this new person. And it's not an easy process for sure.
No. And we talked a lot about in our conversations that we've had, you know, about moving through the fear and overwhelm and how to find the flow and the ease with that when you're sort of in that space of either being diagnosed or moving or even post, because I'm sure that there's fear and overwhelm in both places.
Yes, and you teach that so well, because you take people from their book journey, or even before that, their story. And so a cancer is another story in life. And they may have other stories that feel great, like having a baby or being great at work or whatever talent they may have, that possibly that cancer can be looked at as, this is just my new, so to speak, talent, my new personhood. And how do I bring her or him into the forefront and honor that side of me instead of wanting to push it and suppress it and swallow it, where it gets toxic and rancid and it turns us into a person that we may not want to be.
Mm-hmm. And I think, and we talked a lot about this on the weekend too, when we are encompassed with something that, like a new situation, it's the fear of the unknown that's really the worst part, but yet sometimes it's how we perceive the unknown and how we're going to walk through it. But it's amazing though, when we go within, sometimes we find the strength, we find the answers, and then we move through that spirit of support because we're not in it alone.
Mm. Yes.
And I think that by you being along your husband's side, even though, you know, you kind of you know, moved in that space and said, I'm here. Sometimes we offer support and we might not even know, the other person might not even know that they actually need us.
I think you're right. And that's certainly what you showed us on your weekend of how to find our stories. And for him and for me, it was to use my talent of being a cook and knowing what he wanted and then inviting other people in. So other people in our story, going back to my story with my ex-husband and Iran, is other people wanted to help. And so I would open it up and say, could you bring a chicken dish for the family? A small one. Don't get crazy and do a massive, you know, platter, that they just need one meal. And the next person could bring this, and the next person could bring this, and give them some parameters and say, you may get a chance to talk to him, but you may not. You may just be at the door dropping the food off. And that made it feel wonderful for people. And they felt supported. And then for my family, they knew someone was coming in and helping, just like what you do. You've gathered all these people, someone to help with images, someone to help with design, someone to help with editing. It's all the same basic ingredients with different names. And it makes this beautiful soup that we get to nourish our bodies with. So all of the pillars, you're using your own pillars. I'm using different pillars, but basically they're the same, because we need similar things when we're running a business, when we're taking care of our health, our family, when we're going for walks on a Camino. You need certain things. You need relationships. You need nutrition. You need passion. You need to be able to get out of your own head with meditation, however meditation might be. Meditation might be drinking your tea. And just drinking your tea. It might be going for a walk. It might be taking a long hot shower. And getting out of our head and getting out of our own way.
Yeah.
Oftentimes we need help. We need someone to hold our hand. I need you to hold my hand in getting a book published. you know, and because you know what you're doing.
Yeah.
And it doesn't scare you. It scares me because I haven't done it. So that's, to me, how it feels that we can help people. We're using similar tools, mm-hmm. all of us.
Yeah.
But when they're framed in another way, as you framed this weekend, mm-hmm. for me, it makes it just feel, oh, okay, I'm not alone, and I'm not as scared as I was. And you'll give me the tools, and I'll give other people the tools of how to walk through it. And it looks different for me than it did for everyone else sitting at the table in your conference room.
Yeah, absolutely. And the thing is we bring our own unique pieces to it, right? And whether and whatever aspect of the adversity it is, we come at it from our own life experience. And chances are, you know, the same seminar 6 months from now, you're going to walk away with something different than what you did over the past weekend. And, you know, and when we talked about the visibility and we talked about all of those things and the power of our story, the story, it changes. And because we're never stuck in the same story unless we choose to be, we can move on. And that's why I loved so much about this, about your story, is that when you talk about finding the one good thing, and because sometimes we refuse to look at obstacles or adversity as a good thing. And the one thing that I've learned is it's rerouting. It's a reroute. And it means that you're supposed to be spending time over here now, not where you used to be.
Yes. And I mean, maybe finding the one good thing is you don't have to spend time with your boss. And like, I don't have to go to work, so I don't have to spend time with my boss who I don't like, or my coworker. And then after you find one good thing, the space opens so that then you could look at another one and say, oh, no, I also get to spend time with my wife, my husband, my children, my friends. And then another space opens. Oh, I get to read those books that have been on my bedside table. I don't like being sick, but gosh, I'm going to enjoy reading this book or listening to this audio tape or this podcast. So yes, that's what you're saying essentially, is that it just opens you and softens you to that next one good thing. Yeah. But if you can find one, another one might be behind it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. And I understand that you also have something up and coming, a course that you're starting. And where can people find you? Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yes, it's a course called Thrive Beyond Cancer. And it's a 5-week course that starts October 31st. It's online. I'll go through the 8 pillars. There's 1 hour coaching with me, however that might look for you or needed for you. There's resources that are downloadable and Facebook groups, et cetera, so that you have some time to spend with your peers. And you can find that at shaunamarie.ca. So it's shaunamarie.ca. And there's a link on the homepage there to go and, you know, sign up for this course.
And that's awesome. That is so powerful. So once again, if you are looking for Shauna is a great referral source and so knowledgeable and a visionary and traveled this firsthand. And if you are or know of someone that is in this space, Shauna is a wonderful, wonderful facilitator and teacher and will guide you through how to find that one thing in diversity. And so, Shauna, I thank you for being on our show today. I'm just so honored that you were here and just so open to share your journey with us. Is there anything that you'd like to, is there 3 tips that you'd like to leave our listeners with today?
3 tips. Well, one of the main ones, and thank you very much, Heather. I just adore spending time with you. You have such a way with you. And then seeing your tribe this weekend, I was just blown away in such a good way to be able to know, oh gosh, I know this lovely, lovely woman. And so you're welcome. As far as the tips, if there were 3 tips, would be to be in community. There's a growth in community that they have studied through the Rosetta effect, that community does heal us and keeps us healthy. And of course, it sounds prosaic, but the finding your passion. But your passion could be something as simple as just being you, being present and spending and sharing your time. And also relationships, how to build the relationships in your life. And you're a new relationship in my life, and I thoroughly enjoy it. I don't have to have you on the end of the phone every moment, but I know that I have you as an ally. And those relationships can be our loved ones, our family, our next door neighbors, or something as simple as our fur baby friend. That's a relationship that we're in. And they're all vital and important to us in our health and growth and moving forward.
And I just, like I said, please feel free to reach out to Shauna. And if you are in the Calgary area, she is very accessible to offer support online and offline. And so thank you again, Shauna. And thank you to each and every one of you for listening to us today. And we're helping you find that one happy moment in diversity, moving you toward your stellar life, which is one of serenity, transformation, energy, laughter, love, activity, resiliency, and just getting those things that you need for better relationships that can move you into that stellar life. So till then, I wish you well, and we'll see you next time. And till then, go out and live your stellar life.